Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is Heaven Bound.
You should come too.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. Today we're recording episode number 13, that's right. We didn't have an episode last week. We were getting ready to go. Where did we go last weekend?
Lads to Leaders.
That's right. We had a busy week, and I had a video that I wanted to get done before we went. We got a booth at Lads to Leaders so we could tell more people about the Heaven Bound Podcast. And we had a video playing of Taylor telling people what is a podcast. So if you haven't seen that video yet, it is on TheHeavenBoundPodcast.com is one of our blog entries, or it should be on our Facebook fan page, and also you can find it on our YouTube channel, and she did a good job with that. But tell us, Taylor, tell us about Lads to Leaders. What did you do at Lads to Leaders?
Trophy.
Trophy, what's that?
It's the thing I won.
What did you do to win a trophy?
Sing.
What song did you sing?
Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, and you did a good job. Did you use your hand to keep the beat?
Yeah.
And did you use your hand to hold out the last note?
Yeah.
And then did you cut them off?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been practicing hard, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you did a good job. And Lads to Leaders, if you're listening and you don't know what that is, it's a program that is put on. The organization is called Lads to Leaders and Leaderettes. And they've been around for, I think, 45 or 50 years. Well, at 45 this year. I think it's been 45 years this year. And it's a program to help churches build leadership in their kids. And they have a whole bunch of different ways to do that through reading the Bible and through memorizing and giving speeches and leading singing. And they can even help, like, put together puppet shows to teach classes. Or they can build bulletin boards to show, to teach lessons or to show themes for Bible classes and anything that can be done some way in the church. They even have art, photography and drawing and stuff that can be used for, well, we use art all the time for our youth group t-shirt designs and for bulletin boards. And when we have VBS and when we host youth rallies, we're always doing things where we need to draw or paint or... And so they can do all kinds of stuff like that. And they work hard all year long. And at the end of the year, they go to convention. And for some of the events, they compete. They have a Bible Bowl. And some of them, they don't compete. They just work hard and do a bunch of stuff. And we know it's not about getting the trophies and getting the awards. But the trophies are a nice way to tell the kids you're doing a good job and they're working hard. And it makes them want to keep doing it. So they are learning the Bible. They are learning leadership skills, getting up in front of people and speaking and leading singing. And even though in the churches we understand the different role between men and women, there are opportunities for both men and women through different things to serve in a lot of ways. And so they have the girls by themselves get to do speech and song leading, and that'll prepare them for the chance to teach classes and to lead at Ladies' Days, and the boys get to do the speeches and the song leading as well, and that prepares them to help with worship. And it is just such a neat program, and if you're not familiar with it and you think something like that sounds like a great idea to start at your church, then hop on to the Lads to Leaders website. And you can find information there. You can contact them, and they would be happy to send you information or have one of their representatives come visit with you about how to get involved in this program. And you don't even have to go to convention every year if you don't want to. You could just use their material and their outline to get your kids involved in church. But we think it's a really neat program, and it's where we just spent the weekend, and we took... Oh, about 10 families, I think, from church, and all the kids went down and had such a good time and worked hard, and we're proud of them. So that's what Taylor got to do. She got to lead a song, and she also got what's called a Good Samaritan Award for service projects. And part of that comes from helping me do the Heaven Bound podcast Bible studies. And part of it came because she's a good helper and a bunch of other things that we do here at church. She got an award for reading through the New Testament, and she's learning how to read, but she didn't read it all by herself. Sometimes we read it to her, or we listen to it together as a book on tape, a Bible on tape, and we get credit for that. She got to see both sets of grandparents, and they got to watch her go up on stage in front of 1,500 people. It was a big crowd, and get her awards, get her trophy. And so you had a good time, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You like working hard and studying the Bible, don't you?
Yeah.
And doing Bible studies and leading singing. And what did you decide, what did you tell Mommy and Daddy that you want to do next year at Lads to Leaders?
Lead a speech.
A speech, yeah. So we're going to start working on a speech. And, oh, that's going to be fun. Now, they don't compete in the speeches when they're little, like Taylor. When they get in the third grade, then they compete and they try to get first, second, or third place. But when they're little, they just want them to get up there and practice doing it. And she'll get a certificate for participating. But she's going to do a good job. So we're excited about that. We have already got to start working to get ready for next year, don't we? And something else exciting happened as soon as we got home. Well, not as soon as we got home. We got home late Sunday night. And then Monday, last night, we went and what did we get to see?
Baptize.
Who?
Kelly.
One of our teenage girls at church. And she went down to Lads to Leaders with us too, didn't she?
Sure.
And she decided, she'd been thinking about it for a while. And she decided she wanted to be baptized, and her daddy got to do it for her right there at her house. And it was neat, wasn't it?
Yep.
And why did she get baptized?
Because she really knew what sin was, and she wanted to get rid of it.
She knew what sin was, and she wanted to get rid of it. Is that what baptism does?
Yep.
And what is she now?
A Christian.
Yeah, and it's so exciting. When we did our podcast about Jesus getting baptized, Taylor started asking a lot of questions. And some questions are pretty big questions for a four-year-old, but we went back and we saw the baptistry and we talked about what it means and we talked about who gets to do it. And since then, there have been two or three people at church get baptized, and every time somebody does, she has more questions. And it's been a really neat teaching experience when that happens, to make sure we always stop and make sure that the kids are paying attention, that they're watching, so they know it's something neat, it's something special. And when they ask questions, we try to answer them. And so Taylor's really excited, and she knows what it means to get baptized, and she knows later when she's big enough that's something she'll have to decide that she wants to do, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. So, okay, well, today we're going to start talking about Jesus beginning his ministry. He's going to begin teaching people and showing people that he is the Son of God, and he's going to start performing miracles. Do you know what a miracle is?
No.
You don't?
No.
Can you give me an example of a miracle? We talked about some of the things that Jesus did that you can't do and that I can't do that Jesus was able to do. Do you remember some of the things he did that we can't do?
Walk across water.
Did he walk across water? What would happen if Daddy tried to walk across water?
You would sink.
I would sink. Yeah, and Daddy doesn't really like water, so I would not be happy when I started sinking, because me and water don't really get along. I like being in a boat. I like being on the shore. I like fishing. But I don't want to go try to walk across the water and start sinking. That doesn't sound fun to me. But Jesus walked across the water, and did he sink?
No.
No. What else did Jesus do that you and me cannot do?
I don't know.
Did he heal sick people when the doctors were not able to help them?
Yeah,
and he just would. Sometimes he didn't even see them when he healed them. He just said go and check on them. They're going to be just fine. And then when the person would go check on them, they'd be all better. He didn't even have to look at them. Sometimes he looked at them. Sometimes he touched them. Sometimes he did different things. But he was able to do special things that nobody else can do. And we call those miracles. And you know why he did those things?
Why?
Was he just saying, hey, look at this neat trick that I can do. I can heal somebody. Is that what he was saying?
No.
No. He was saying, I'm here because God sent me, and I want you to listen to what I have to say and to try to get your attention and help you know that God really did send me. I'm going to do these special things, these miracles that nobody else can do, so you will know that you can believe me and that you'll know that I really am from God. And so this is going to be the very first miracle that Jesus ever did in John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So first of all, where did they get to go?
Wedding.
To a wedding. You think it was a pretty wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think the bride had a pretty dress?
Yeah.
She probably did. And there was a bunch of people there. Do you think they brought presents?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You don't know? I bet some of them brought presents. Usually when somebody gets married, people are excited for them. They bring them presents because they're gonna live together, and they're going to need pots and pans and dishes and towels and a whole bunch of stuff for their new home. So I don't know if they had a big party like that, but they had a big party. And do you think there was good food?
Yeah,
they were all sitting around and they were eating good food, and Jesus was there. And who else was there with him?
The disciples
and one more person. Who else did it say?
Mary,
his mother, right? And they were there. And verse 3 says that they were eating and they were visiting and everybody was happy. And after a little while, they ran out of wine. Do you know what wine is?
No.
Wine is something that they would drink. Back then, they had water, but the water wasn't always very good. Sometimes it was good water. Sometimes it was yucky water. And what else did they have? They had milk. Because where does milk come from?
Cows.
Yeah, animals give us milk. They had milk. Do you think they had Dr. Pepper back then?
No.
Oh, man, they were missing out, weren't they?
Yeah. That was right before Dr. Pepper was made.
Yeah, that was probably a long time before Dr. Pepper was made. They didn't have sodas like we drink, Coke and Dr. Pepper and stuff. I don't know everything they had. I don't know if they had something like coffee, or if they figured out how to make lemonade yet. But they didn't have very many different things that they would drink. But one of the things they would drink was called wine. And wine was made out of fruit juice. It was kind of like grape juice. And they would mix it together. Do you like grape juice?
Yep.
What's your favorite kind of juice?
Apple juice.
You like apple juice, don't you? Where does apple juice come from?
We squeeze them.
Yeah, we squeeze the juice out of them. Well, they would squeeze the juice out of grapes, and they would make grape juice. And sometimes it was good, and sometimes it sat around for a long time, and it started turning yucky. And if you drink grape juice that starts turning yucky, then it makes you start acting funny. And are we supposed to drink things that make us act funny?
No.
No, that's probably not good. So,
but if we save our drink in the refrigerator, it'll stay good and yummy.
That's true. Do you think they had a refrigerator back then?
No.
They didn't even have electricity to keep the refrigerator running. If somebody invented a refrigerator, they wouldn't have any way to turn it on because they didn't have electricity. So they would make this wine out of grapes, and they would drink it. They would try to drink it while it was still good. And they were having their big meal, and they were drinking wine, and they ran out. And it says in verse 3, when they ran out, the mother of Jesus, who was that?
Mary.
Mary. When the wine ran out, Mary told Jesus they'd have no wine. They ran out of wine. Jesus said to her, "What does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." He says, "I'm not the one in charge of bringing them wine." And he says, "What do you think I'm going to do about it? It's not time for me to start doing things like that." And Jesus knew there was something he could do about it, but he thought he wasn't ready to help them fix this problem of running out of wine. And so, like a good mother, Mary just didn't pay any attention to him. And as soon as the servants walked by, she grabbed one of them by the arm and she said, "Hey, I heard that they're all out of wine." And the servant said, "Yes, ma'am, we don't know where we're going to get any more." And so she pointed to Jesus and she says, "You do whatever this man right here tells you to do." Now, it says there were 6 big water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each.
What's a gallon?
Do you know what an inch measures?
A small.
It measures how long things are, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, a gallon measures how much of something can fit in something. However much you could fit into a bucket. So if you want to measure how much water you could fit in a bucket, or it doesn't have to be water. It could be sand or dirt, or it could be marbles or something like that. You can measure.
Or pearls.
You can measure how much will fit in a bucket, and if there's a certain size, that's called a gallon. Now, when we buy milk, that's a pretty big bottle that milk comes in, isn't it?
Yeah,
that milk container is 1 gallon of milk. So that's how you measure. Now, what are they measuring? What did it say was in those pots?
Water.
They're measuring water. And those pots were bigger than our gallon of milk because it said they had 20 or 30 gallons inside of them. So they were big, tall. They were probably big enough that you could fit inside of them if they would hold 20 or 30 gallons. I bet you could fit inside of one of them. And so there were 6 big water pots that would hold 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus told the servants, "Fill those pots up with water." So they took them over. Well, I don't know if they carried them. If they were that big, they might be hard to carry. They might have brought little buckets and poured them into the big ones until they were full. It doesn't tell us how they did it. But they filled them up with water. When they filled them up with water, what was inside those pots?
Water.
That's what they just put in it. And the servants knew it was water because they're the ones that put the water in it, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so they filled them up with water. And then they came back to Jesus and they said, "Okay, what do we do next?" And he said in verse 8, "Draw some out now and go give it to the head waiter." There was one person that was in charge of all the food, and he said, "Okay, you put water in the pots, now get a little cup of water out of the pot and go hand it to the head waiter and get him to drink it." So what do you think he was going to drink?
Water,
because that's what they put in the pots, right?
Yeah.
But let's look and see what happens. When the head waiter tasted the water, which came out of the water pot, guess what he really tasted?
Wine.
Jesus made that water turn into wine. Jesus didn't even touch it to do that. The servants put the water in, then as soon as they scooped some out, it was already wine. He didn't even have any grapes. How did he do that?
A miracle.
It was a miracle, wasn't it? Because he can do things like that that we can't do. And so the head waiter tasted it, and it was wine, and he didn't know where it came from. And so the head waiter called the bridegroom and said, "Usually they serve the good wine first. So when everybody gets there and they first sit down, they have the very best food and the very best drink. And then later, if they start running out, they can go get the old stuff that's been sitting around that's not very good." Do you think the bridegroom brought the best that he had?
Yeah,
I think he did. But guess what? this wine that the head waiter tasted was even better. Why do you think it was better?
Miracle.
Because it was a miracle, because Jesus made it. And if Jesus made it, it's going to be the very best that it can be, isn't it?
Well, you have magic to turn a big red soft square with bunnies inside of it.
Yeah, but do you know what? That's just a trick. Did you know it's not real magic? Yeah. When Daddy does magic tricks, it's just a trick. It looks neat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Daddy made...
And it's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun, and Daddy makes little balls disappear and reappear, and I can make one turn into two or maybe three, and...
Or you can turn a red ball into invisible.
Yeah. I can turn them invisible, and I can pull them out of your ear, and you don't know how they got in there. But you know, those are all tricks. That's not real magic. That's not real miracles. Daddy just likes to do tricks sometimes.
But Me too.
Yeah, but what Jesus did, was it just a trick?
No.
No, it was real, wasn't it? And it says, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said, usually you put the best stuff out first, and then when everybody's eating and they're getting full and they don't care, if you start to run out, then you can bring out the other stuff. But he says, you saved the best until last. Well, he didn't really save the best until last because he thought he ran out. But Jesus made more, and what Jesus made was the very best. So verse 11 says, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So the men that were following him, we talked last time about how John the Baptist was teaching people and was baptizing people, and then he baptized Jesus, and he started telling people, you don't need to follow me anymore, you need to start following Jesus, because he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the one God sent to be our Savior and our King. And so some of those people started following Jesus, and it was some of those people that were here with him at this wedding. It might have been friends and family. It might have been people that didn't even know him very well but knew they wanted to follow him. And when they saw what he did, do you think they believed there was something special about him?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what the miracles were for. And that's why Jesus didn't use any miracles when Satan was tempting him, because it wasn't for just doing it himself. It wasn't for, well, I'm lazy, I'm going to use magic instead. It was just for helping other people see God. And when Satan was tempting him, if he used his powers to listen to Satan, he wouldn't have been using his miracles for God and to help the people. But now he has a chance to start, and he didn't think he was ready, but his mommy knew that he was ready. And she knew that the people there needed to see him do that. And he was good, and he listened to his mom. Even though he was a grown-up man, he listened to his mom. And he performed his first miracle. And verse 11 says the people saw it, and they believed. And that's going to be the reason he does all of his miracles, is because he wants the people to do what?
Believe.
Believe, that's right. And do you know, John, we're reading this one in John. Sometimes we read Matthew or Mark or Luke, but today we're reading from John. And did you know that John tells us at the end of his book, he said, the reason I wrote about all these things that I saw Jesus do is because I want you to believe also. Jesus is not here for us to see him turn water into wine or walk on the water or do any of those fun things that we're going to talk about when we keep going through this study. And John said, there's going to be some people that don't get to see this, so I'm going to write them all down. Not even all of them. He says he didn't even come close to writing all of them down. But he said, I want them to believe. And so Jesus started doing miracles because he wants people to
believe.
Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
I do too. And that means we're going to listen to him to find all the answers to our questions. And how does Jesus answer our questions?
The Bible.
Through the Bible, we can read and find out what he wants us to do and how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to help people and how to worship him. He told us all those, didn't he? And if we believe, then we know we can look here and find those answers.
Why did John watch Jesus?
Well, because he thought Jesus was pretty amazing. And he followed him and he watched and he listened. And then John became a teacher and a writer, and John wrote part of the Bible to help us out. He wanted us to know all the things that we didn't get to see. Okay, is there anything else you want to tell our listeners before we finish?
That's all.
That's all? Okay. Say, we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
All right, for the second part of our show today, I just want to mention again, we talked at the beginning about the Lads to Leaders program, and it really is an incredible program. There's a lot to it, and it can be overwhelming to try to jump in and just do it all, but you don't have to jump in and do it all. Our first year, the only thing we did was the Bible Bowl, and we went to the convention to just kind of see what it was all about, how it all works. And got really excited and came home, and we've been trying to add more stuff every year. And it's probably the single biggest thing that we do here at our congregation. And the neat part about it is it involves the entire family. The way we do it once a month, all the families that are involved get together. We have a fellowship meal together. We break off into groups, and the kids work on some of the different projects, and the parents are right there working on it with them. It's not just send your kids off to Bible camp, which things like that certainly have their advantages, but this is a way to involve the family and a way to involve the congregation. You can get folks that don't even have kids involved with the kids because they have a talent in one area or another. They can help them with speeches, or they can help them with writing articles, or they can help them, you know, design a website or whatever the category the kid wants to do, be involved in. And even if an adult participates in the memory work or the reading or the service projects or things like that, adults can get awards, can be recognized for their involvement too. And so it really is a family program. It really is an incredible program. Their website is ladstoleaders.org, and lads to leaders are separated by dashes or by hyphens. And so it's lads-to-leaders.org. Hop on that website if you're not familiar with the program. Give it a look over. There's a lot of information under the About Us link. There's a lot of material. Like I said, even if you don't formally do the program, they put out books and study material and Bible Bowl material and just a lot of things that you can use to help your family, your children grow up in the Lord. And so if you're not familiar with it, definitely check it out. Contact them, get some more information, and talk to your elders or the men at your congregation and see about getting involved in this or something like this. The conventions, there's several different convention locations. If you want to go participate in the convention itself, and like I mentioned earlier, you don't even have to do that, but if you would like to, we go to the convention in Dallas, Texas, and I'm not sure if they came this year. I don't remember seeing their name, but in years past, we've had a group come all the way from Washington State to be a part of the Dallas, Texas convention, because it was the closest one to them, and they felt that it was worth it. And so even if you need to travel a little further to do it, it's definitely worth it. If you can set aside, you know, the money to make the trip and stay in the hotel. So definitely check out ladstoleaders.org. And as always, thank you so much for listening to the Heavenbound Podcast. Check us out online at heavenboundpodcast.com. You can find us in the iTunes store, the Xbox Music, which used to be the Zune store. We're also listed on Stitcher. They have their own directory. If you have an Android device, download the Stitcher app and find us that way. Send us feedback. Let us know what you think, if you enjoy the show. Taylor and I love to sit down and study the Bible together, and we love to be able to show you and help you study through the Bible with your children as well. So if you're enjoying it, please share it with someone else. And if you haven't, please subscribe. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, have a blessed week.